5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's pain-free Friday for all stolen out minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up, 100, 200, the bad, see the broken day, the bad, up with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad attitudes, bad tape, bad lock, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Varela Palacio, right across the room through the woods from where Granny's only on edibles right now because she's having trouble watching The Crown and trying to snap at the same time in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, the ready to in some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do. But I'm offended to come around, flat to party up. Rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown. What a mess. Tad to tatter, but being splattered all over Manhattan, should be shot out. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Pharrell with Mafia. 844 toll free, 843-6879. Don't be confused. Toll free, 844. 843-6879 is the number to get on the bench. Wow, watching the end of this Brooklyn game is insanity in terms of betting because it was Boston 5.5. And right now, Brooklyn's up 5 with Blake Griffin at the line with 5 seconds left. If he makes the second free throw, they go up 6 and cover by a hook. There's the 6. Now a timeout, so Boston's going to try to figure something out. They're down 6 with 5 seconds left. This game's over. It's not over for bettors, though. I know that much. I need a bucket. I had the Nets to win in Boston plus 5.5. I knew this would be a great game, great finish. Brooklyn blew a big lead. They were up 15, and they blew the lead. And sure enough, like every NBA game, garbage time. It turns into chaos, and you get the backdoor covers. Same thing last night with the Philly game. I mean, they came back and covered. They were getting their ass beat in Milwaukee the whole night by 20-plus, and they still covered. So it never ends, these backdoor covers, these garbage covers. And the one team lays down, and the other team comes back and covers the number. No lead is safe in the NBA. No spread is ever safe in the NBA. Everything is literally down to the last tick. I mean, that's just all there is to it. And I have to say, for the umpteenth time, that their team without Harden and, you know, Durant playing without, you know, both of them in the lineup with Kyrie Irving. It's just, I think they're average at best. And I do not judge it based on this game. I do not judge that, look, they won. So, and he hits the 3 with 2 seconds left. Pritchard for the cover. They're down 3. There's 2 seconds left. Don't foul anybody. Even if they do, they can only win by 5. I'll cover by a hook. Go ahead, foul them all you want. Timeout. How beautiful is that, Mafia? So anyway, what I'm saying is that, you know, much like this game, I look at it like, who do they have on the floor that that they're using in their rotations. Who plays for them if there's no Harden and no Durant? Here it is. Green, Harris, Jordan, Irving, Shamet, Griffin, Brown, TLC, Luau Cabarrot. And then now they got this Mike James guy they picked up. He was playing in Russia. Little guard, tats all over his body. The guy just speedy guard. He was averaging like 18 in Moscow. So, look, that is, to me, that's an ass lineup. We welcome all of our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, near T. You wanna do, you wanna. Sports Map and Sports Byline Radio Networks and Armed Forces Radio all over the globe. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's a pain-free Friday. Pharrell on a bench. I'm Pharrell with Mafia. 844-843-6879, the number. Toll free from anywhere. So, anyway, like, I'm not afraid of this team at all. Zero. Not at all with that lineup. Like, look at Irving tonight. He's got 13, 9, and 11. He's a rebound shy of a triple-double. I'll take it, but honestly, Harris has 20. Green has 19. Griffin has 13. And Brown has 15. I'll give you that. Only Harris, four threes. Green hit three threes. They hit 11 of 32 in threes. They shot 43%. I'm telling you, it's not a good team. Like, in the sense of they're decent. They can play anybody. But they're not beating Milwaukee. They're not beating Philly with this lineup. With this team, I'm telling you, they're not going anywhere in the playoffs. In fact, I bet on Boston over this team. Without Harden and Durant and Irving playing, they are beatable. As sure as I'm sitting here, Mafia knows it too. 108-104 Brooklyn right now with Irving at the line with 1.6 seconds left. He makes the second one, and they'll go up five, and I got five and a hook for the double cover. The money line Nets, the spread Celtics. Half court, Fournier off the rim, no good. They lose by five. I cover by the hook. Double cover! Yeah!
When you're sick, you call a doctor. When your pipes break, you call a plumber. And when you're ready to win,
you keep it right here.
For sports gaming strategies and information, experts.
It's a thing.
The home of the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with Mafia. And why don't we try? You want to go to Charlie in Indy and see what we got going on here?
Come on.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Hey, man, how are you? Been a long time since I talked to you. I was wondering who you think the Titans are going to draft.
Is this our boy Charlie, old school Charlie from back in the day?
Yes, sir, it is.
Jesus, Charlie, how you been, dude?
It's been a long, rough time the last couple of years, but been doing all right.
How old are you now?
I'm 19. I'll be 20 in July.
19 and 20 in July. So, are you still living with your folks? Like Your mom used to, like, didn't she used to, like, get mad at you for talking to me and calling my show? And you'd get, like, grounded and stuff, and she'd turn off your, you know, take your phone and turn off your computer and everything else?
That was my grandma, actually. I found my real family, and now I'm living with them.
Oh, so how did that work out?
I'm living with my sister now.
Where did you live before? You didn't live in Indy, did you?
I lived in Youngstown, Ohio.
That's right. So now you're in Indianapolis?
Yep.
You like it there?
It's all right.
You know, I went to Indiana University, right? I went to Bloomington. That's where I went to college.
Yeah, man, I work here, and every morning I turn on your show and listen to you talk about IU, and I'm basically an IU fan because of you.
Oh, that's awesome, Charlie. I'm glad to hear that. Guess what? Next year, they're going to be good with Mike Woodson, and they got all that talent back, and they stole some kids from other schools to play for Woodson. I think they're going to be a lot better than they were than that hack Archie Miller. I couldn't stand that guy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I can't wait to see what they're going to do next year.
I couldn't stand that guy, honestly. So what, you're still a Titans fan?
Oh, to the day I die, man.
Is that right? So your boy, I was telling Mafia, I don't know if he heard me or not. This guy, you remember Jannard Walker? Is that his name? I think he used to play for him. You remember him? Played, I think, 9 years in the NFL. Anyway, he does a Titans show now. He does some podcast for the Titans, something like that. And he wants to come on my TV show. So I think we'll maybe I'll give the number to Mafia. Will figure it out. We'll get him on, and then he'll talk about the Titans at great length. I mean, look, I think they're a good team still. I thought they had a horrible playoff game. I think Henry got shut down, and that was all she wrote. But I think he's a badass. I've seen his off-season training, you know, highlights. Like, he's like no one else in the league. Like, that guy, all these guys work. They all work their ass off. They all lift. They all grind. They all, you know, go at it every day and get ready for the season and stuff like that. But that guy does it on another level altogether. He's a freak. He's an absolute freak. He's like, he's doing all this exotic stuff, exotic workouts. I mean, like reflex training, like with resistance bands and resistance with weights. He's crazy. Like, I've only seen one person actually do that kind of. Mafia saw him do it one day with me. It was Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper of the Phillies, when he was playing with the Nationals, he goes to Vegas in the offseason. That's where he lives, and he trains like some kind of savage with all these, you know, resistance bands and all this resistance weight, and like doing like downward, when you do weights, the downward motion of the weights at the end of going down with the weight, not doing reps, but actually doing the other way with the weights, the pressure from the top down. He does all that kind of crazy training. And the only person I've ever seen train like Derrick Henry is Bryce Harper. That's just me. But I know they all hit the weights, and they all do their squats, and they all do their bench, and they all do this and that. But it's the guys that do freak stuff, underwater resistance, running with weights tied to their, you know, waists, crazy pull-ups with chains and weights hanging from their bodies. That's that guy. And that's why that guy's such a horse. And that's why he's such a badass. He's like unstoppable. I couldn't even believe he had a bad game in the playoffs. I couldn't even believe he got shut down, to be honest with you, because he carried him. It's like every week, that's their whole team, if you ask me, is him. And I think he's so good, he makes Tannehill look good. I think he, everybody has to focus on him, and then they don't pay attention to Tannehill. And that's why Tannehill has big games. So that's just kind of my thought on the Titans.
Able to hide who do you think they're going to draft?
I have no idea who anyone's going to draft. I know that Mafia likes draft beer, and Carver High likes bottled and canned beer. I know that. I know that next week on Sports Grid, we're doing the draft. I'm going to be on there's a beer for you, Charlie. Wait a minute. He's underage. You might want to drink that, Mafia. So, thing is, on Thursday night, I'm going to be on at 7 to 8 on Sports Grid Radio for 1 hour with Kevin Walsh and his partner doing that show. Then at 10 o'clock, at 10:02 and 11:02 on TV, I'll be on Sports Grid. And it's the top of both hours, 10 and 11. And then on Friday morning, I'll be on the morning after show at 10:25 a.m. with Smitty and Ariel. So I'm going to be on doing the draft then, And those are the spots I'm doing. And I'll talk about the draft as it happens. As far as every single player, I don't do mock drafts. I don't do, I'm going to tell you who this team's going to draft and who that team's going to draft, because everyone that does that is an asshat. Everyone that does it, like, because no one gets it right. No one ever gets anything right when they predict who draft picks are going to go to, or how trades are going to play out, or, you know, it's the same thing with me with futures. You're going to tell me tomorrow who's going to win the World Series. You're going to tell me tomorrow who's going to win the NBA Finals. Who's going to win the Stanley Cup? Who's going to win the Kentucky Derby? Who's going to win the Indianapolis 500? Who's going to win this? Who's going to win next year's college football championship? Who's going to be in the playoff? I don't listen to people like that. Who's going to be the third player taken in the second round? I don't even care. I'm not even kidding. Like, I love the draft to build a team and a franchise through the draft every year. I think the future is important. I think every team is built through the draft. I think everything's about the draft. But I also think it evolves as it happens. I think they go off at a board. The best player available, they'll draft. They have needs. They try to fill those needs. And they'll go about their business doing that process. People like me, people in radio, TV, writers, they all, and I respect everyone that does it for a living. I really do. I hope everyone does a good job and has a job and commits to what they do. But I'm not a buyer in, and I'm not a believer in people that think they know who's going to get drafted in every draft pick. And just, it's impossible. It's like telling me who's going to win the Super Bowl. Not Super Bowl, Super Ball. I'm talking about the lottery, the Mega Ball, you know, the Mega Millions and all this other stuff. Who's going to win the lottery every day? Like, tell me what the winning lottery numbers are going to be, and I'll tell you who the 15th pick in the draft will be. I mean, like, it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. I know that everybody's been talking about quarterbacks this mock draft season. All they talk about is the five quarterbacks that everybody's interested in. Meanwhile, they talk about no other players at all, ever. So I think the whole thing sucks. Problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right, we're all on the bench. With Mafia. So anyway, Mafia, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to disrespect the process of what we're doing here with the draft. I just think, frankly, I'm right. Like, these guys that try to predict where everyone's going and every single team's draft choices, it's so ridiculous to me. It's like, it's just so meaningless and absolutely futile. Is that a word? you can't do it. It's impossible.
Yeah, I agree with you, Scott. And, you know, it's the thing is, you know, we love you and I, we love college football, we love the NFL, but you have to like live and breathe that stuff, you know, to know the fifth lineman that's going to be taken in the second round. And it's just so hard for, you know, guys like us who don't scout it like that. So one thing you're great at on the show and, you know, throughout your show has been, you know, if it's something that you have someone else that's better at, you let them talk about it. You don't try to be an expert in everything. So this is something that's not your area of expertise. So you let the guys that do it, you know, do it. And you look at what they look at and you take their advice. And otherwise, you just watch as it happens. You don't try to, you know, pull stuff out of your butt and say, well, I know exactly what this team's going to do, because you don't.
Yeah, that's right. I have no clue what they're going to do. No one calls me up and tells me. The Steelers don't call up Pharrell and say, listen, we just thought we'd give you all of our draft picks. So you give them out on your TV and radio shows and just tell everybody what we're doing. It doesn't work that way. And I, far be it from me, I know what they want. I know they want a center, and I know they want a running back. but they have more needs than that. So, you know, I had a guy tell me, I think Lisi said the Steelers need ATN. That's who they should go for, not Najee Harris. We'll see if they're even available to the Steelers. But as they say, running backs are a dime a dozen. That's what some people believe. And that there'll always be running backs available. They already have running backs. And I got to tell you, everybody got all worked up about that James Conner guy. And I think a lot of it had to do with he played at Pitt and that he had cancer. Everybody loved him. He recovered from that and played for the Steelers. And he had one, you know, incredible run with them where he was great. And then he had, I think, two terrible runs. And he did absolutely nothing except get injured. And he was never effective. He never did anything. He didn't amount to a hill of beans. Then he went and signed with Arizona. See you later. Bye. Like, they have enough guys now to get the job done, as far as I'm concerned. If they draft some rookie, it doesn't mean the guy's going to be good. You know, I got to tell you, one of the surprising things to me more than anything else is how you think, and I've said this on the air, I've admitted it on the air live. I said it to the other day, Mavi, you know, I'm always on David DeMarco's show in Lansing. He asked me the same question, who do you think this team's going to do that team? I said, listen, last year I said Jeff Okuda was going to be the best player in the draft. He ended up being the worst player in the draft. They hate him in Detroit. In fact, the fans want him gone already. He played one season. He was terrible, and they're done with him. They gave up. They hate him. They hope he falls off a cliff. Meanwhile, at Ohio State, he was an absolute badass. You couldn't throw against him. And then in the NFL, he completely sucks. So that's my point, is that everybody thinks that because, frankly, a kid's good in college, that he's going to be good in the pros, is the most misleading dog biscuit ever. You got the dog biscuit right on your nose, and then you the dog does the trick. He flicks it off his nose and eats it. Look, all I know is pro football and college football are two different worlds completely. I'm telling you, it's two different planets. There's something about that game at the next level where they pay to feed their families. It's different than when you get the, you know, college scholarship plan. I'm telling you. And I know everybody says they should be paying college athletes, yada, yada. I've heard all I can take. Pay them then. What do I care? I love college football. I think it's awesome. The only thing I said is this. I said this on Coast to Coast, and I'll say it on here, is that there are five or six schools, Alabama, Clemson, you know, Ohio State, Miami. Miami's still a draft hub. It's still a lot of players that go to Miami end up in the NFL. Even though, let's face facts. I mean, I love the Canes. They're my team. I've been a Canes fan for 40 years, but they suck and they don't matter. And they keep thinking they matter. They try to play like they matter. I'll tell you how much they matter. They're going to get their ass beat by Alabama. That'll be that in the season opener. They'll find out who they are then. But look, I'll never forget when they lost to Louisiana Tech 29-0 in the bowl game, Mafia. I'll never get over it. You cannot lose to Louisiana Tech. No offense, Louisiana Tech, but that was the greatest win you ever had. But it was the worst loss Miami ever had, in my opinion. I've never seen anything like it. 29-0 in a bowl game. You can't even score against Louisiana Tech. That said it all to me. I don't care who your coach is. I don't care who the quarterback is. I don't care if there's a blizzard. All I know is that's where they are. That's who they've been lately. The last few years have been a nightmare, been a disaster. But the funny thing is, it's different in the sense that they have all this talent, these monsters, these 300-pound monsters. They got guys 6'7", 6'8", 350 pounds. I'm telling you, they get drafted. They play at Miami. They play in the ACC. They get drafted. And I still don't know why. Because if you're crappy at Miami, why are you going to be good in the pros? honestly. But all the big schools, Texas, USC, Oregon, you know, I could go on and on. Let's face facts. Michigan. Everyone that plays at Michigan, all the best players, like the cream of the crop there, the top shelf, they go pro. Every great program, their top shelf players go pro. And that's all there is to it. That's what it is. And then it doesn't guarantee anything. Like the I've said it over and over and over and over and over, is that like a perfect example of this is Ohio State quarterbacks, one after the next, all of them. Literally every single effing one of them. Every single effing one of them has sucked in the NFL. They've never had one good quarterback. Not one. Don't tell me any. Don't even mention Troy Smith, Arch Schleister. I'm going to puke. Okay? They were all horrible. Horrible. And I hope Justin Fields breaks the mold. I hope he's fantastic. I hope he's great. I had Dr. Chow come on today and tell me the epilepsy is nothing. Don't even worry about it. I'm like, what? Are you serious? Are you drunk? Like, if some guy, like, seriously, someone explain it to me. Because I'm not a doctor, but I play one on General Hospital. Are you telling me, Mafia, some kid has seizures? Like, that doesn't bother you? I mean, seriously.
I mean, you still have it, I'm sure. If it's something that's actually a threat to him, but no, I actually have family who had that as children. And, you know, with the medication, it doesn't affect you a lot of times unless you forget to take it. And now they're adults and they don't have them at all. And, you know, so that's something that he's had it through his family. They talked about his family having it and all of them outgrowing it. So I think that's something.
You think just no big deal. No problem. No problem ever. All right. Well, then I'll go back to what I said. Then if everyone's convinced that he'll never have a seizure, never have problems, then fine. You win. I'll go back to what I said. All Ohio State quarterbacks in the NFL suck. There you go. And what's my reasoning? My reasoning is the encyclopedia of evidence I have in front of me of all their failures, one after the next, right down the line, A to Z. So I think he's a great quarterback. I thought he was great at Ohio State. I thought he was unbelievable in big games. I thought he was phenomenal. I thought he lit it up. I thought he has a strong arm. I think he's smart. I think he's fast. I think he's athletic. And he'll go and probably bomb in the NFL. Just when I think he's great, he'll bomb like the rest of them do. They all do. So, you know, they've already crowned Trevor Lawrence Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer. They've called him a generational quarterback. Generational. He's absolutely a lock to go to the Hall of Fame. He's generation. I mean, if you're generational, you're going to the Hall of Fame, aren't you, Muff? I mean, Mitchell Trubisky's a number two pick in the NFL draft, and he is now finished. He's like a backup now, forever. Because the Bears bungled him so badly. And don't blame it on him. Blame it on them. They Pace, Nagy, the Bears, their crappy team, their crappy coaching staff, their crappy talent evaluators, their crappy organization, crappy ownership. It really is. No one ever tells it like it is. The Bears are a joke, and they have been since 85. That's all there is to it. They were only good with Halas and with Ditka. That was it. The rest of them suck. They're terrible. They're horrible. They ruined that kid, and he's now finished. He doesn't matter and never will again. And he was a number two. So you're going to tell me every single number one, number two, number three, number four, every one of them is going to end up a great quarterback, go to the Hall of Fame? My ass. I'm telling you, my ass.
These days, it's hard to find something you can trust. Your car?
Yeah, right.
Trust takes time. And that's why we're here.
24 hours a day.
7 days a week. We are your trusted source for gaming odds.
And more.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, for all on the bench with Mafia. So your boy DeGrom tonight had himself a start, and he strike out 15?
Struck out 15 for a new career high, complete game shutout, two hits, including an RBI.
And what did you say he's batting?
He's currently batting 556 during his starts and has a 0.36 ERA and 50 strikeouts through his first four starts this season.
Wow. I just want to see he's hitting five. It says here he's hitting 545. And his ERA is 0.31. And he went 9, complete game, shutout, two hits, no runs, 15 strikeouts. I mean, my God. Let's see. His numbers are just so unbelievable. 16 called strikes, 29 swinging strikes, 25 foul balls, 14 in-play strikes. First pitch strikes, 21 out of 29 batters faced. 21 strikes on first pitches.
He's given up one earned run in 29 innings so far this year.
God. It's just unbelievable. How long can this guy
last? He has more RBIs than runs allowed.
How long can it last where he's dominated baseball for like the last 3 years? And he didn't even win the Cy Young last year.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's especially the way he's hitting too right now. Everyone talks about Ohtani, like he's not hitting homers, but the guy's getting RBIs. Like half his starts, he's driven runs and struck out so many guys. Last game, he struck out 9 straight batters. He's just mowing them down like crazy. They asked Keith Hernandez if he's ever seen anything like it. He's like, no, even on Doc's best day, I have not seen anything like this.
Even on Doc Gooden's best day. And then I guess, you know, the only person that you can even compare him to is Seaver.
Yeah.
Right? Like, honestly, in Mets history. Do you think he's better than Tom Seaver?
That's hard for me to say because I wasn't alive with Seaver when he was doing it. I didn't see his career. I just knew him as the broadcaster, how awesome he was at that. But I would give it probably to Seaver a little bit as far as the longevity. I think Seaver did it at a high rate for longer. DeGrom's been incredible the last 4 years. We'll have to see how long he can continue that, given that, you know, he kind of started a little later. He was starting his like mid to late 20s instead of early 20s.
I can't believe what he turned into. You know what I mean? That he became this dominant, absolutely unhittable pitcher. And I don't even know, what's his deal like? Do you know what his deal is like? Like how long, when do they have to pay him big money? Or did they already do it? So.
5-year, $137 million deal a couple years ago. He's got 3 more years. Well, I think 4 years total, but he's got these two that are definitely signed. And then 2 more, I think, that have, you know, like clauses, whether it's you get opt out after 2022. But after that, he's still making, you know, $30.5 and $32.5 million in those other, you know, club option years. So I don't know if he will. But, I mean, he's ridiculous.
So he's still got this year and next year, no questions asked.
This year and next year, no questions asked. He's 33 and 34 those years. And then when he's 35 and 36. He can opt out in, you know, when he's 35, and the club holds a team option for 36.
I would doubt at 35 and 36. Do you think he'll still be throwing like this then?
I wouldn't think so, given what we've seen from guys. But, you know, again, like I said, he also, you know, that getting started later might work in his favor too. He might not have all the innings on his arm from when he was in the minor leagues that these guys have. You know, from previous seasons starting, especially, you know, in the 80s and 90s when they'd throw 8-9 innings every game. The way they protect these guys, maybe he can, but he has gas on that arm right now. I mean, you see him in the 7th, 8th innings, and he's still throwing 98 and 100 miles an hour.
So do you think, I think that when you look at that team, they're in first place by a half game. Do you think that over the Phillies, Braves are a game out, Miami 1.5 out, Washington 2 out, so they barely have anything in terms of a lead. They're only 1 game over .500. They're a bizarre team. They got swept by the Mets, got swept by the Cubs. Now they bounce back and they win tonight. So I have to say that I think one of the things that impresses me about him is, frankly, Stroman. Isn't he? Because he sat out, he opted out. And now he's back, and he's actually pitching great too, isn't he?
Yeah, their top couple starters have been really good. I mean, obviously we know what DeGrom does. But then Stroman's had some great starts here. I think even, you know, they've had some other guys step up here. You know, the back end of the rotation has been a problem. You know, and even the bullpen at times, as we know. You know, after all this stuff of, you know, bringing in your boy Diaz, the big trade they made for him, he's been a bust for the most part. But they've had some good outings from, you know, some other guys here. Tuan Walker has been pretty good for them. But the big ones have been Stroman and DeGrom for sure. I mean, Stroman right now is 3-0. He's undefeated. Three games, three starts, three wins.
Right, I knew that. Is Diaz still suck?
He's not consistent. He's getting a little bit better. There's times that he's okay, but there's not a time yet that he comes out on the mound that I'm not holding my breath that whole ninth inning.
Is he still the closer?
He is for now, yeah. Until he starts screwing up again. He has two saves so far this year.
So, do you like your manager, Rojas? I mean, I still can't believe that's their manager, but it is what it is. So, you like
him? I have to wait and see on him. I have to see what he does in some of these big game situations later in the season, because right now, you know, there hasn't been a lot of situations where he has to step up and make, you know, a tough decision, and you can say whether he made the right call or not. Right now, it's pretty much just doing things as is, you know, just leave the pitchers, follow the formula. The only time he's kind of made some of those decisions that I've questioned has been, you know, early in the season, the first game when he took DeGrom out early and the whole like 70-something pitches, and of course the bullpen blows it after he has a great game. So I have to see more from him when we get into June, July, you know, besides the shortened season we had last year and the early start this year before I'm going to give him a, you know, pass or failing grade. But I haven't seen anything great yet, but we'll see if he can pick it up.
Are you surprised to learn that Pete Alonso, the polar bear, eats cable sandwiches?
The only one that plays the Cubs, apparently. I like that from him. I like that, the freshening, you know, just realness of him. It's like when you got Aaron Boone on the other side of the city giving you BS every time he steps in front of a mic, and then you got, you know, Alonso, and they're like, how does it feel to get swept by the Cubs? You're like, you know, it bleeping stink, you know, bleeps. Good. I'm glad. You know, show some passion, show some anger. I don't want you to be like, well, you know, it's just another game of 162. I want to be like, I'm pissed. That sucked.
He said, it's like eating a cable sandwich.
Yeah.
He said, awesome. It's like eating a Shaq sandwich. I'm like, that's awesome. I didn't know you ate those. I didn't know you had such an interest in he had the whole repertoire on cable sandwiches. I've never had one. I try to avoid those things in life. I think my dog would eat it, though. I think my dog will eat anything. He'll even eat a cable sandwich.
Most dogs do. Not,
so when I eat, as you know, well, you've been around the dog a lot. When I eat, if I have, like tonight I had action here because I had people here. And so there was pizzas, there were salads, there was garlic bread, there were shrimp, there was everything going. And fried shrimp, it was all happening. There was sandwiches, there was, you know, you name it. It was all going on here. Chicken parms, the whole deal. And the dog literally growls at people and barks at people. It doesn't just beg. It barks at you. It barks and growls at you to give him your dinner. He just... He's like, give me the dinner. And it's just, it's unbelievable. He just won't stop barking for food. Meanwhile, the dog just ate. It just ate. And then 5 minutes later, it's begging like the dog's been in the desert lost for 5 days and hasn't eaten. I mean, the dog literally, it's a savage. It'll eat anything. It'll eat anything. It doesn't matter what you give it. I give it lettuce. It'll eat it. Yeah. Go ahead, Ayana. Go. So when I walk the dog and I bring the dog up the driveway after the walk, so when at the end of the walk, the dog, it wants to be let off the chain. So you let him off the chain, and when you let him off the chain, he wants the chain. So you give him the chain, then the dog runs away with the chain. And then when you walk up the driveway, the dog attacks you. So the dog comes at me like a police dog, like a German shepherd with the guy with the, you know, pillow arm, and it attacks me. And it tries to bite my arm off. Both of my arms, it tries to bite off. And I mean, it means business.
What's your problem?
I'm not talking about, like, you know, playing around. I'm talking about the dog legitimately tries to bite my arm off.
Homie, don't play that.
It is vicious, man. I kick it, everything. I got the full karate going. I have to punch him. I have to, like, slap him off. I got the palm slaps going where it comes at me to try to bite my hand off, and I hit him on the side of the head to keep it off of me, keep it at bay.
I don't want to swear, but what the bleep are you doing, dude?
It's like a boxing trainer before the fight. He's with the mitts. Mavi and I use the mitts when we hit the bag, and then you hold the gloves, and Mavi will punch me. Same thing with the dog. You gotta use the mitts to keep the dog off you from biting your arms off. Then you finally say, all right, I'm done. And then the dog stops. Then it goes inside, and then it wags its tail and licks you. It tells you how much it loves you. It's like, what's up? And I'm just like, a minute ago you were trying to bite my arm off.
Tonight we have the battle of the century.
It really is. And I'm the only one it does it to. Because I'm the only one that ever does anything with it. I walk it, feed it, pick up its cable. I do everything with the dog. I'm the only one the dog hangs out with. I keep him out of here in this studio, the Magic City Studios, because he'll ruin everything. He'll ruin everything. Not only that, it's too nice, and the dog is a hairy, shedding mess. Wherever he walks, a trail of dog hair just falls off of him and flies everywhere. Like, my house is covered in dog hair. And so every week I have this crew come in here and clean it because the dog is a hair, just smelly, hairy mess. Hairy carry. I mean, it is just unbelievable. Mavi has seen all of it. I'm not making it up. It's crazy. Mavi's team's in first place. He's very excited. And his team, the Jets, are going to draft the Mormon quarterback. Whatever happened to, they had to go on a mission, Mafia. Didn't they, if you're a Mormon,
they do it while they're in college.
They do it while they're in college now?
I think so, yeah. The football players probably do it in the first year, get out of the way, and then, play their time.
Oh, did he already do his mission?
I don't know. I'd have to check into that.
What could be worse if you drafted Zach Wilson and then he had to go away for 2 years? I mean, honestly.
Worked out for the Cowboys and Staubach, right?
Well, he went and did military time. Isn't that right? I think it is.
Yeah, I believe the Navy, right?
Yeah, he was in the Navy. Wow, that's crazy. We have to find out if he's already done that mission. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with Mafia, and I'm watching the Nuggets and Warriors. It's 43-40. Warriors, who seldom come out to play, yay. They're playing at home at the Chase in the city, by the way, yay, in the way, yay. 5 minutes left in the second, going to a timeout. Nuggets are down 3. And as far as the other NBA action going on right now, the Grizzlies lead the Blazers at the Moda in Rip City, 47-43 with 3.5 left in the half. That's the only game going on. Hawks beat up the Heat by 15. Nets by 5 over the Celtics. Hawks covered the spread. Celtics covered the spread. Hornets covered the spread. They beat the Cavs by 6. Clippers beat the Rockets by 5. They did not cover 11.5. And the Wizards covered and blew out the Thunder by 20 in the Chesapeake in Oak City. There you go with that. As far as baseball, the Padres lead the Dodgers in a good one tonight. Darvish against Kershaw. I'm going to get that going right now. Going to the bottom of the third at Chavez Ravine. Angels and Astros are tied at 2s. Bottom 9 in Houston. The White Sox and Rangers are on the south side of Chicago, tied at 6s in the 7th. Cardinals lead the Reds 5-1 in the middle of the 8th. And the Phillies Rockies are 2-2 in the 7th. Really good games going on tonight. The Giants lead the Marlins 2-1, top 5 in San Fran. Hockey, Canadiens Flames. After two periods are tied, so are the Wild and Kings after one period. We'll get you details on all the finals coming up on the grid update. It's Pharrell on the Bench.